Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. It's time for recovery, it's time for recovery. It's time for recovery on 101. It will be time to have some fun, hurrah, hurrah. It will be time to have some fun, hooray, hooray. With Mark and Joey and Bruce too, we'll have some fun on, we'll have fun on Recovery 101. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will be he there to shout and scream when we get there. And it's all time for Recovery 101.
Thank you to Bill for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101. What?
I'm marvelous.
I'm marvelous.
Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLACRRHAMOUS.
Yeah, all those. The alphabet soup of recovery.
None of them, they're guys. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Awesome. So, well, it never rains in Southern California.
They are lying.
Yeah. Raining right now. Right cheer.
Right cheer.
Yazzer.
Right cheer.
Yazzum.
How's your day, Mark?
My day was pretty good. Spent all day working on making four pieces of dessert for you guys.
Those were those were off the hook, as Guy Fieri would say. Oreo churros. They were awesome.
Okay. Right. I checked out at step one, which was scrape all the Oreo middles off the chocolate cookies. I'm like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. These things... I could form my own 12-step program to get people off of them.
Oh, yeah. I had two of them.
You could eat.
I could have the other two right now.
Those are mine.
You could eat 22 more, couldn't you?
I haven't even tasted it yet. You can't have mine.
You won't know it. Then you won't think you're missing anything.
I'm thinking my blood sugar's low.
I think you already had a cup of juice and two Oreo churros and two egg rolls. And
I
you
did not have a cup of juice.
What's that purple thing right there?
Was a cup of milk.
Okay,
that's
whatever.
Even better for you.
But
does a body good.
Yeah, and you have two peppermint cookies sitting there. You cannot have my Oreo churros.
There you go.
They were damn good.
Thank you. They took 3.5 hours to make.
Damn good.
And we'll never see them again, so
that's right.
I hope you enjoyed it.
How was your day, Shelley?
A bit tiring, actually. Although, first I was grievously injured by the cat. That was what woke me up.
I'm laying there and I hear his ah!
I'm screaming. There's blood dripping everywhere. The cat flew across the room. That was what happened.
What
not
is with
unaided.
Cats right now?
Oh, not unaided. The cat flew across the room.
Oh, no, no, no. The cat was not aided by me. Because he was hanging from my finger by one claw. And when he finally...
Mark's showing you.
Oh, Mark's got cat scratches all over him, too. Well, when he finally
cat scratch
broke
fever.
Through my cuticle, he flew through the room because he fell off my finger.
Oh.
Yes, and I'm dripping blood. I've just woken up because that was what woke me up. And Bruce is like, what's going on? I mean, he keeps asking me questions, and I'm in mortal pain. I can't exactly answer. Finally, I said, shut up.
Yeah, well, Debbie's been fostering sets of kittens for for the last few months. We've had, like, three sets of kittens come through the house.
That's a good way to always have kittens instead
of
cats.
It is. Except for the fact we have a cat.
Oh.
And cat's very close to Deb.
Oh.
So cat was very pissed off that we had all these kittens coming through the house.
Yeah, I'll guess so.
However, cat, for some reason, isn't blaming her.
Blaming you.
Cat's blaming me.
Right.
So at every opportunity it gets, it attacks my arm.
Awesome.
Oh, no.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
We're using new mic cables.
Yes, courtesy of our friend Robert M.
We are. The board looks beautiful.
Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Robert and Bill.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So, thank you, Robert.
Yeah, very awesome. By the way, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Yes, awesome.
Yes, it was quite a revelation when we plugged in his new mic cable, and then he went to mic test, and he lit up the board like a Christmas tree. We had to back him back down again. That was exciting.
Well, the weather outside is frightful.
Okay.
But the fire is so delightful.
Are you still low?
Probably.
Okay. We have shout-outs to Dakota, Natalie, Carol, John, Take 12 Radio, Joey, Sally, James, Randy, Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jack, Bill, Joe, Fran, Dan, Neil, Damon, Brian, and Elizabeth.
Wow.
Wow.
Whew. And if you would like to get your name on that wondrous list, you know what to do. Comment.
By the way,
on the show,
while we're recording this today,
yes,
we are number one on the Podomatic Network
in
of
the
60,000 plus shows.
The first story is from Fran.
Fantastic.
Now,
oh, Fran,
there's an explanation for why Fran's been missing for a few weeks. She switched providers. And everything went haywire.
No.
So she groveled.
Internet providers?
Yes. So she groveled and begged, and Comcast took her back, which I think is probably a bad idea, but, you know, because Comcast historically sucks.
That Comcast is trying to, either they're trying to buy Time Warner, or Time Warner's trying to buy them. That would be a fairly.
That would be a monopoly.
Well, monopolistic type
Charter,
of thing.
Charter isn't a deal with Time Warner. I didn't hear Comcast.
Oh, maybe it's okay.
Charter is.
Yeah, that's
which I was really happy with because I have Charter. So now Time Warner is coming.
We had Time Warner. I couldn't stand them, but
the only thing I like about Time Warner is it's the only way you can watch the Dodgers on television.
Ah.
So because Charter was in the middle of a deal, they signed them up and so I was able to watch Dodger games this year.
Well, so Fran is back.
Yay!
This story is out of New York. Now, you know, in the South, if you go to a picnic in the South, a lot of people say don't trust the macaroni salad because you're
why?
Well, because
mayonnaise
it's,
in the sun.
Yeah, mayonnaise in a warm temperature, you're going to get sick. Don't trust the macaroni salad
or the shrimp.
That actually is true in New York this week.
Oh,
no.
For some gentlemen that, well, not gentlemen, thieves that broke in and stole a cash register from the Bilderberger restaurant. They also dismantled the surveillance system, and on their way out, they grabbed a large bowl of macaroni salad.
Ha!
The people in question were Matthew Sepetko, James Marullo, and Timothy Walker.
And how do we know that?
Because they were arrested when the police followed the trail of macaroni salad.
A literal trail?
A literal trail.
Of macaroni salad.
They didn't realize because as they were... They were walking away. They, you know, this is New York. Nobody drives in New York. They were walking away with all this stuff in these bags when they had broken in to steal this stuff. And they had this big bowl of macaroni and salad. And they were eating out of it with their hands and didn't realize they were that the bowl was spilling macaroni salad as they were walking.
What idiots.
Yeah.
Well, they're criminals.
Dumb criminals of the week. The stolen property was recovered. Including
Minus the macaroni salad that they had already eaten.
Yeah, except for the macaroni salad. But I think at that point that, you know, they're just gonna chalk that one up as a loss.
You know what that sounds like? Sounds like the old Western movies where, like, the thieves would go steal the stuff from the general store, and they'd break the barrel full of gunpowder, and there'd be a trail of gunpowder along the trail.
Yes.
All the way to... So it sounds like one of those.
You know what I think you should do with that? If there's a trail of gunpowder?
Just light it and see
light
where it goes.
One end.
Yeah. And then when you hear the, boom, yeah. Then you know.
Found them.
By the way, and I myself am a Adam Sandler fan.
Yeah.
The Netflix movie, The Ridiculous Six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not so ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's quite ridiculous, but.
Well, it's meant to be.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way. No. And it's full of, like, stars. I mean, it's full. Although,
yeah.
I got to tell you, Vanilla Ice plays Mark Twain.
This was meant to be stupid, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, it's bad. And it's got everybody. It's got John Lovitz. It's got Harvey Keitel. It's got Luke Wilson. It's got Adam Sandler. It's got David Spade. It's got Will Forte. It's got Chris Parnell.
Yeah.
Go,
when you check the credits, look and see if it was, if the company behind the whole thing was Endeavor. Because that's their, it sounds like their entire roster of comedians.
Well, it's Happy Madison.
Yeah.
But it was bad.
I think Madison, that if you're going to play Mark Twain, you actually have to have read a book, preferably one of his, before you do that.
The funny thing
he
is
heard
he
heard the rap
looks,
song.
He heard the rap. Counts then.
The makeup was great. He looks just like him. Yeah. I mean, it was like David Spade played General Custer.
Okay.
Good to know.
Neil sent this next story in. And this is our sad and depressing story for the week. Actually, it is. The newest statistics that we have for infants that were born drug addicted for the 2013 year, completed and analyzed statistics, 27,000 babies were born in 2013 addicted to opioids.
And that's the latest data available,
That's the latest collated data that we have.
Is that up?
But here's the thing. In the last 10 years, it was 130,000. So it's way up because only 27,000 in 1 year, that means over the last 9 years, the rest of them are spread out over
1/4 of them was
Farmageddon.
In the last year.
Yeah. It's, 20% in the last 1 year out of 10.
However, homicides by gun, latest data available 2014, down 4 years in a row.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with the heroin epidemic.
No.
And these are all babies that were born to heroin-addicted mothers.
Yeah, because they're using heroin to get off of the pills.
And in part of the story, they highlighted two of the women in the story. One of them is in jail because she was actually on the methadone clinic, trying to get off of heroin, which it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And she...
Well, it works. It just gets you addicted to methadone.
It's sad that she accidentally gave her infant methadone. Yeah. Why would you send home a baby with a mother that you know is on methadone?
Yeah. Well, what works the best for kicking heroin? Ice packs and aspirin.
And lots of fluids. 5 days later,
how do you accidentally give
your
baby methadone?
That. It doesn't say in the story, but the baby died, and she's in jail. She's got 15 years to life.
Yeah. How do you accidentally give your baby methadone?
I don't know. It didn't say in the story.
Oh, here, I meant to give him this other substance, but it was accidentally methadone.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But that is a...
That is a sad,
yeah. Every 19 minutes, a child in the U.S. is born with an opioid addiction. Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Now, this next little thing, it's not really a story. But I think everybody should go to this link I found while I was clicking on Neil's story, which was very sad. And there was this little thing on the sidebar after I read that story that was talking about help for Instagram husbands. And I was like, what the heck is an Instagram husband? So I clicked on it, and it takes you to a page where there's a video that this website called InstagramHusbands.com. This is one of the top 10 funniest things I've seen all year.
Oh.
It's kind of a spoof site, but it's done by a bunch of guys that call themselves the Instagram Husbands, and you can sign up to be part of their group if you are an Instagram husband. And it's
Oh, this is going to be a done deal for me.
I'm not even on Instagram. It's for the husbands of women who are addicted to Instagram. Like, they can't do anything. They can't brush their teeth. Every 5 feet, they have to stop and take a... Oh, shoe pick, take a pick of the shoes.
Oh,
that kind of thing. I'm not even on Instagram. You don't qualify.
Well, I'm on Instagram for terminallyuniqueapparel.com, and it's just like Facebook in a lot of ways. Now, Mark, of course, is not on Facebook, but everybody is like, lately I'm seeing people taking videos driving in their car. Here's my lunch. Here's this. It's like the way Facebook was for me for a while, where I'm like, really? Another picture of your food, and another picture of your food, and another picture of your food. And finally, Shelley and I were out to eat one day, and I was going to post the obligatory picture of my food, and I said, wait a minute, I'm going to actually eat my food. So what I did is I posted a picture of my empty plate. I said, this would have been my food, but I was busy eating it instead of taking pictures of
That's one of the things they to support the site, they sell a T-shirt. And it says, on the T-shirt, it says, we used to eat our food, now we take pictures of it.
Perfect.
The video is flipping hilarious. So I would highly
check
recommend
it out.
Going
and by the way,
to that website, InstagramHusband.com.
And don't forget to check out TerminallyUniqueApparel.com. And I'm going to say this during the news here, because it is news, by the time this show goes live, Shelley's book
will be up.
Will be up. Shelley Burnett updated her status. Will be available on Amazon.com.
Yep.
And it's cheap. And it's awesome. And you should go check it out.
And buy it for Christmas.
If, like, 10% of the people that listen to this show bought one, yeah, we'd be good. We'd be good.
That'd be $28.
That would be $28.
Actually, see, well, you know what's funny though? I don't get it, because I'm not one for the ebooks and everything. But to me, it sounds exceedingly inexpensive. It's like $3.
Yeah,
that's. You could buy one for four of your friends, and you could take care of four presents for people. It's only $12. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Okay. Elizabeth sent this one in, but I had actually found and bookmarked this a few days ago because this cracked me up.
This is a good cigar, by the way, Mark.
Thank you.
This happened in Seattle.
Ooh, been there many times.
I'm trying to find...
We went to the original Starbucks there when Shelley and I went up there with my mom and my brother and my father and...
There's no... The name of the person that was arrested is not in the story. He's a 73-year-old man. He was arrested, basic traffic stuff, license... No, what was it? He was initially arrested for failing to signal. So it wasn't... It was like a minor, traffic stop. He gives the officer his license. The officer goes back to his car to, run his license.
Uh-huh.
Whereupon the suspect decided that was a really good time to snort some cocaine.
Wait, how old is this guy?
73.
He was wrong.
He's my flipping hero.
The cop comes
Who
back to the car.
Who doing cocaine?
The cop comes back to the car, and the guy, realizes they're in the middle of a traffic stop. And the cop is right there, so he tries to hide the cocaine, which meant the cocaine went all over his pants. So, then he's probably, licking his pants at that point. Who knows?
Lick his pants.
He tried to deny it was cocaine, but he had the vial in his other hand.
Okay. He's my hero because he could do cocaine for that long, but he's an idiot.
Why is he an idiot?
Yeah, because why would you? The officer was going to give him a minor ticket if he had not pulled out the cocaine and started snorting it right in front of the cop. That's really not a stellar move.
Yeah.
That makes you stupid.
No, yeah, he's an idiot of the week. He's a waste of water.
Okay, Neil sent this in. Neil's in Germany right now. He said that this story is about as boozy as he can tell that it gets. And it was just a standard drunk driver. He went straight through a roundabout instead of doing the roundabout on the roundabout.
Oh.
And he collided with another vehicle.
Oh.
So it wasn't that big of a story, but I wanted to include the story because when he sent it to me, it was in German, and I don't think Neil realized that. I had to go
That's
to Google
funny.
Translate and paste the story in there. And this happened on the... I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly because I've got a sinus problem, so I might be able to do it. On the Wolkenschweilerstrasse, coming from...
Wolkenschweilerstrasse.
Wollen, after Wolkenschwil.
I just like the fact that the guy decided to drive straight
through a roundabout.
Yes.
Surprised he didn't hit the fountain.
Yeah. He was slightly injured, by the way.
What would have been funny if he'd hit another car... that was also driving straight through the roundabout. That would have been awesome. Funny.
Yeah. So I hope I pronounced those properly. By the way, Waltenschweilerstrasse is basically Waltenschweiler Street, but Waltenschwil is the actual place.
Okay.
Strasser Street?
Strasse, yes. Strasse. Strasse.
You know what? You know what we are? Recovery 101 is just like Rosetta Stone. Strasser. Everybody, repeat after me. Strasser.
Not Strasser. Strasse.
Strasser.
Street.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Deborah sent this story in. This happened in
Florida.
Thank you. The body of Matthew Riggins, 22 years old, was discovered after his family reported him missing. He was found in a pond near the house that he broke into and tried to rob.
Oops.
Okay.
Now, what happened was he breaks into the house.
It begs the question, how did he get in the pond?
He broke into the house. He tried to rob it. The police were called. He ran away he didn't complete the robbery. While the police were searching for him, they lost him. And they were like, okay, well, we've got the report. We've got the pic. We know who this guy is. We'll just wait till he turns up, right? His family reported him missing 3 days later. So then they have to start searching for him. The pond he jumped into was actually a tributary in which a big alligator lived.
Ah.
Ooh.
How much of him did they find?
They found bits of him.
Oh,
he was eaten
man.
By the 11-foot alligator. They pulled the alligator out, took it in, and, you know, because if it's going to attack humans, they have to. That's what they do. They also found pieces of him inside the alligator.
Well, I would imagine.
First of all, if an alligator attacks somebody who jumps into its habitat,
I know.
That's not the alligator's fault.
I know, but in most places in the U.S., if an animal uh-huh. actually attacks a human, yeah. they will try and hunt it down because now the animal's learned
yeah.
that they can kill a human.
That's like hiding behind the targets at a shooting range.
And exactly.
I got to tell you, if I'm living in a house and I have a pond next to my house that's got an 11-foot alligator,
uh-huh.
you would think that you could, I don't know, talk to the wildlife game department or something, have the alligator taken and released in the Everglades somewhere or
this
something.
This is Florida. That might be their security system.
That's right.
It well, worked. Apparently it works, yeah.
Yeah. Worked really well. Okay. And finally, Elizabeth sent this one in. Springtown, Texas. Mandy Wells is facing felony and misdemeanor charges.
Manny Wells or
Mandy,
Manuel?
Mandy. Mandy.
Oh, Mandy. I'll say some Mandy. Oh, no.
That's
never
Brandy.
Mind. That's Brandy.
Jeez.
I was trying to keep that sober.
She's facing felony and misdemeanor charges because she thought it would be a really cool idea if she hosted a beer and weed party for her 12-year-olds.
Oh, no. It's a cool
idea.
If
I was 12, I think that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mom's there were, awesome.
There were 10 middle schoolers at this party. And she thought that the party was a really good success because no one needed to go to the hospital.
Wow. Wow.
Well, that's good, Andy. I guess.
The fact that her children made it to that age with a mother as stupid as that is what astonishes me.
Isn't there a Barry Manilow song called Mandy?
Yes.
I don't remember it talking about Mandy giving beer and weed to the kids.
She admitted that perhaps it wasn't the best idea, but that she went ahead with it anyway.
And what is happening to her as a result?
Well, her children are obviously with CPS, and she is in jail. She might have been able to get out on bond. She might have been able to work a deal. She might have been able to do something. But she told them she was more concerned with keeping her drug supplier anonymous than getting out of jail.
Well, that's going to be a bunch of weed for her when she gets out, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Actually, the guy's not going to want to be anywhere near her. She will never be able to get weed from that guy again.
No, but he's just picked up a bunch of 12-year-olds as new clients
yeah.
down the road.
Yeah.
So the children yeah. were removed and are under
I've
the care of
I've done business with this family for generations.
Yes.
God.
Good Lord.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress, too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
By the way,
by overwhelming vote that I've seen.
No.
Yes. Matter of fact, I only saw one person.
Carol is my new BFF. Yeah.
I only saw one person say, get rid of Welcome Back Carter.
However, to be fair, a couple of people did say, I'm fine with Welcome Back Carter.
Yeah.
No idea what it is.
One person said, who's Welcome Back Carter? Yeah. And I thought, it's Cotter.
It's Cotter.
It's Gabe Kaplan.
It's Cotter.
Mr. Cotter.
Carol is my BFF for life now.
Yeah, she wanted to vote Cotter off the island. However, there was like seven or eight people that said. What they said was, the more irritated Shelly gets, the funnier
The more they
gets.
Like it.
So what we're saying is that my fans hate me and want me dead. Your fans hate me and
Our
want me
fans
dead.
Love
I,
think
I don't they, have any fans except for Carol, apparently.
I think they find you humorous.
Our fans love to see you annoyed.
Welcome back, Shelly. Your dreams
Kiss my ass.
Were your ticket out. Welcome back.
Strangely enough, I still don't have
to
that
the
ticket.
Same old place that you laughed about. So. You know what?
What?
We should take a vote on this show as to whether Shelly should sing the entire song.
Oh, no. No. We're not having a vote on this show.
You wanted a vote. You
That's
asked
because
for
there's
the vote.
More than three people that would be voting on it. And I already know which way you guys are going to vote, so forget it.
No. I'm not saying we'll have a vote right now. I'm saying we'll let the listeners vote.
No.
What do you mean no?
Absolutely not if you set my hair on fire.
All right. Well, Mark, we have a topic.
Yes.
Which is?
Mirror, mirror.
Now, remind me.
Are meetings a reflection of the secretaries that run them, or chair people that run them?
Yes. Who's the lead-out music guy? No, well, I mean, sure. But we shall discuss. What do you think, Shelley?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes meetings have enough of a balance of charismatic people and quiet people and, you know, knowledgeable people and new people and old people. They have enough of a balance that the meeting can carry itself regardless of who's running it.
True.
Because we've gone to meetings like that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
However, a crappy secretary or a chairperson, depending on where you are in the country, can kill a meeting stone dead.
Or cripple it badly.
And on the other end of that, a good secretary or chairperson can bring a meeting back from the dead that was on life support.
That's happening right now as we speak.
Yes, with our Tuesday meeting.
Well, we have our friend Kylie.
Yes.
Who I'm sure she wouldn't mind if we mention her name.
She doesn't listen anyway.
She took the meeting, Now, it doesn't hurt that Kylie is an attractive young woman.
She is smoking hot.
Yeah,
she's
an attractive young
and
woman.
She's cutting edge, and she's fun, and she's cool, and she's smart. So, yeah.
So we haven't gotten a single new woman to come to this meeting.
We have all kinds of new guys.
But it's filling up with young guys, which is good.
Which is fine, because when the young newcomer women see that the young guys are going to that meeting, they will follow the guys. And then I will swoop in like a black widow. I will have a whole field of newcomers all to myself.
There you go. How about you, Mark? You've seen meetings. I mean, what's your opinion? Does it have that much effect on a meeting?
I think it has a huge effect on the meeting as far as how much time. I mean, if a secretary shows up and opens the door,
yeah,
and that's about the extent of what they do.
Or doesn't open the door, just runs in at the last minute and hopes somebody else was there first.
Yeah, you know, you watch a meeting just start to deteriorate. And the other side, I've seen meetings where you get a secretary in there who is just like, especially speaker meetings.
Oh, my freaking God.
When you get a...
Oh, Shelly's eating the...
Oh, Shelly just got...
The Oreo churro.
That is freaking amazing. I'm having a foodgasm. Sorry, go ahead. Carry on.
See, I could just make those for a meeting for a month and bring them every week.
Yes, we would get everybody.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, I've seen secretaries of meetings who go out and make it, it's like their life sobriety mission to see how big they can build the meeting that they're secretary of. They go out and find speakers from out of the area. They've got a speaker list 6, 8, 10 weeks out that they know who's coming. And they're going around to other meetings announcing their meeting, and they're making sure that people are coming to their meetings, and they're picking up people who don't have a ride to get them to the meeting. And you know, you watch all that, and all of a sudden, that's how you see a meeting that just grows incredibly fast.
Yeah, and see, I don't have any problem with that. I like secretaries that take an active interest in their meeting, because you know what? I think there's far too little of that now.
Yeah.
And we, like we've said many times on the show, we live in an area where there is a buttload of meetings. I mean, we've got, Shelley and I have an Alano club that is a couple hundred yards from here.
Yep.
And there's 40 meetings a week there. And then there's a place that was called the Other Club, which was a second club in Covina. But they still have a thing called the Other Side, which is like a meeting room. It's not really a club anymore, but it's like a meeting room. But it's got like 20 or 30 meetings a week. So
there's two churches within a mile of here that have meetings.
Within
and hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Within a mile of where we are in any direction, there's got to be 80 or 90 meetings a week. And what happens is, I used to tell people it's like this. It's like you take a piece of pie, and this is the amount of alcoholics in the area.
An addict.
Well, at one time, they would have all been at the one meeting. Well, then you have two meetings. Now you split that pie in half, and you split it. Now you've split it 90 times in a week, and you'll run into those meetings where there's not very many people.
Yeah.
And the only way to get that meeting bigger is to do the kind of things that Mark was talking about. Hardly anybody gives rides to meetings anymore.
CA in the mid-80s to late-80s. It was having 60, 80 people at a meeting was not a big deal.
Right.
But there was only a meeting.
Right.
For the whole area. I mean, from the Inland Empire to the far side of the San Gabriel Valley, there was one meeting every night. And everybody went to it.
Well, you remember the one CA meeting that... we've gone to. I remember that meeting progressively getting larger. I mean, it wouldn't fit in the one room.
Right.
They moved it to the cafeteria, and it wouldn't fit in the cafeteria anymore, and they moved it to the gym. And then I took a break for about 6 months from going to that meeting, and I went back, and I went to the gym, and
dark.
It wasn't there. And I went to the cafeteria,
dark.
And it wasn't there. And then I went to the room that used to have it, and it wasn't there. And I went up to the front desk. I said, what happened to the CA meeting? They said, it's in the nurse's lounge.
Yeah.
And there was four people.
Yeah. Well, you know, that meeting was, it's funny because we went and did a panel at that hospital. And I went with my friend Alan.
Recently?
No, this was before the meeting started, 1985. Went there, and they were talking about wanting to have a meeting at the hospital for CA. And I had about 9 months at the time. And Alan, who led the panel, said, perfect. Mark's ready to secretary a meeting. So he and I and his son, the three of us, started the meeting. But we had, I mean, at 9 months, I had a lot of friends in this program.
Yes.
And by the time I had 9 months, I had met all the L.A. people and had been to meetings out there. So as soon as we started the meeting, we started bringing all the guys that were at the Alcoholics for Cocaine Addicts of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, the guys who were at the first meeting.
Right.
All came and spoke.
Right.
You know, Johnny S. came out and Ken C. and all those guys that started this whole thing all came and spoke at Charter. And, yeah, we went from the double room to the cafeteria to the gym in about 90 days.
Well, and let me throw this into the mix. Let's say you've got a meeting. Let's say it's a speaker meeting. And it's gotten really small.
Uh-huh. Are you trying to be polite and incognito?
No.
Okay.
But it's difficult. Well, actually, I personally don't think it's difficult because I think, you know, if someone asked me to speak at a meeting, I don't care if there's four people there. I'd still go speak at it. You know, well, I don't have a problem with
it. First of all, because the topic's my favorite subject.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But I'll tell you, I think that some people maybe think they want to be careful about going out and getting some big speaker from another meeting, and then they come in and there's only four people or six people. And like I said, to me, I don't care. I don't care if it's a group of three people. I don't care if it's 300 people. I would speak anyway. Mm-hmm. And I would drive a long distance to speak.
Yeah.
But we have a guy that volunteered to be a secretary. And and trust me, when he took it over, the meeting wasn't big. But we're getting as the opposite of what Mark was talking about, like the guy that goes out and promotes the meeting everywhere and makes flyers and gives people rides.
Right.
You know, this person was running late and says, "Hey, can you cover my secretary tonight?" I said, "Great. Who's your speaker?" "Well, I don't have one."
Yeah.
"You don't have a speaker." Then the next week, and then he never showed up anyway.
Yeah, he said he was running late.
He said he was running late, but he didn't show up.
He was running very late.
The next week, we have four people in the room,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, "Where's the speaker?" I didn't get one. And I asked the secretary, I said, "Did you go to AA Central Office or CA Central Office and ask for a speaker list like I suggested to you?" "No, I haven't had a chance to do that yet."
You don't have to go there.
It's been 2 weeks.
You can call them. They will send it to you.
Yeah. You haven't had a chance. It's been 2 weeks.
Well, and this is the same person that, you know.
You drive right by Central Office on the way to go to coffee.
Right.
He, you know, Bruce gave him some suggestions. And after the "I'm running late and then not showing up" fiasco, which the five of us that were sitting there decided just to turn into a round of the table discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to lay into him because I'm the bitch of the program now, but I didn't.
Mark's so proud.
I was very polite, but I was extremely firm with him. And I said, "You need to do these things." And he hasn't done any of them.
Let me ask you a question. I've been to that meeting a couple times over the last couple years. I've been out here a lot since I moved. How much time have your last few secretaries had?
2 years, 1 year, and this one is three, actually. So they should know better.
Active in the program?
I think it's
CA meeting. Active in the program of Cocaine Anonymous?
No.
Probably not.
No. And in fact, there have been multiple times when he's been running the meeting when he starts using the AA-isms instead of the CA-isms.
Okay.
And we have to I keep reminding him of the CA.
So how did he get voted in as secretary?
He volunteered.
He volunteered after the interim. We had a secretary in between he and the one that had had to step down after his. He'd been doing it for 9 months, and then he got a job that required him to work that night.
Okay.
And actually, the meeting was doing well.
Well, at that point, because he was kind of a charismatic kid. And,
he was from a sober living house, so the meeting was full of sober living people.
Yeah.
And I mean like a grip of them.
Yeah.
There'd be 12, 15 guys.
Because he would bring them.
Yeah.
He would bring some of them, but the other the other houses. There were a couple of other houses that would send people, and the people from Charter were going too.
Mm-hmm. And he was a young guy, fairly charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that.
I heard you. I'm agreeing.
But then the person that we elected mm-hmm. after him, and that was an active election, went out but didn't tell anybody. And it went on for like a month. He kept trying to get people to cover his secretaryship. And finally, it was Kylie, who runs the Tuesday meeting, that laid into him and said, what the heck are you doing? You know, this is your meeting. You need to run this meeting. It's going downhill because you're not there and there's nobody at the helm and stuff. And that mm-hmm. was when he admitted he'd gone out. And that night, we had mm-hmm. to get another secretary. And the guy that volunteered had run against him in the election. Mm. So it was kind of one of those okay things. And we got a serious problem here because this is the only CA meeting in this area.
So I hate to say this, but so Bruce, when are you going to become secretary of this meeting again?
But that's the thing is, how do you...
probably at some point.
And we've gotten a little bit off the topic because the topic is the meeting a reflection of the secretary, but we don't know how
to solve
it. I
think we've agreed it is.
Well, kind of. I mean, I had took over that meeting at one point when there were like five or six people regularly going because one of our friends had killed it off, actively killed it off.
Lee.
Yeah. He was so hard on the newcomers one night.
Wait a second. I was there. I was there.
You were there that night when he scared
them
all off?
I was there. When he scared them all off?
Yes, and
I'm
they wouldn't
sorry.
Come back.
Those panty waist counselors at that piece of crap treatment center?
Right.
I agree. You hurt the patient's feelings. We're not going to have them come to the meeting anymore. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
you know
I
what
agree.
He did? You know what Lee did that was so awful? He told him the truth.
Yeah, but he could have... Well, yeah. Okay, so anyway... But then I had it, and that was when the meeting started getting bigger again.
And then I came and told them the truth, and they left again.
Well, because, and then I had to use the, you know, that was when Robert sent me
the megaphone.
Yeah, you
had the bullhorn, yeah.
It was big enough and unruly enough that she literally used a bullhorn in the meeting. Now, let me throw this into the mix.
Just because I'm loud, not because
We're talking about, is the secretary a reflection? I think... Everybody associated with the meeting is a reflection. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Back in the day at that meeting, I had about, I don't know, I had 4 or 5 years, and this guy Matt was secretary of the meeting. Matt, mm-hmm. charismatic guy,
yep.
young guy, and he made me the coffee guy. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's like a newcomer commitment. And this is back when the meeting was big enough. We used those big, giant coffee makers. And you had to go like 45 minutes before the meeting to get it ready. And I said, if I'm going to be the coffee guy, I'm going to be the best coffee guy I can be.
Right.
So I would bring a grinder. And the coffee shop that used to be right next to my store
uh-huh.
used to donate pounds of this coffee called Haitian Blue Voodoo.
To you.
To you personally.
To me personally.
Right.
So I would take it there, and I would grind it, and I would, you know, and
you like how we stayed in line with the traditions and still were able to do things on this
and
show?
And then coffee became like a thing.
Yeah.
And then for a while
and
I would bring donuts, and donuts were a thing, and it's like, I think... that if the secretary is doing what they're supposed to and the coffee person's giving it his all and the chip person is, you know, animated and this, it makes people want to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And
they tell their friends and their friends
if you
tell their
don't,
friends.
And the in this particular meeting or any speaker meeting, you know, you're bringing in good speakers every week and people go, wow, that speaker last week was great. Then they tell their friend, man, I heard a great speaker. Then, oh, let's go check it out this week.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a meeting right now where there's no chip person. And I'm looking, and now there's only 4 people in the room, but I'm looking. Neither of these girls, one of them that Shelly sponsors, neither one of them has a commitment. I'm like, make one of them literature person, make one of them chip person, you know. And it's like, there's no activity like that at all.
Yeah.
And I think that it does. I think it has a huge effect on meetings.
You know, there are just and I can speak. As far as CA goes, I can't speak as far as all of the other programs because that's the program I'm involved in. There are a lot of speakers that have never been heard out in this area.
Yeah.
or I guarantee you the people that are going to the meetings now have never heard. With 20 to 30
in dynamite
years
speakers
that would drive out in a heartbeat when asked.
Even if it's for 4 or 5 people. I know they would because I know you would and I would. And Shelley would.
I drove to Palm Springs. There were 7 of us, I think, one night I went to a meeting. I went to another one there. There were 30, but, you know, it's just kind of how you...
But that club that's out there?
Yeah, but I don't care. I'll go to... If it's you and me, and you and I are the only two there, Bruce, we'll go over.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go overtime.
Yeah.
On and on and on.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have... So what's the solution there? You've got a meeting that's dying, and the secretary is not living up to their end of the bargain, and they're not a charismatic person. They don't attract people, and they can't hang on to anybody to keep their commitments and stuff. How do you change that? I already tried. I already laid it out. So did Bruce.
You know, I've been involved in meetings like that, and basically what you do is you go get a speaker for about 3 weeks from now, and you go around and you let people know who's coming in and when they're coming in, and you make sure and get it out and around to all the other meetings that this meeting needs support, and as many people as can make it, will they please come on this date? And you'll get a room full. Not the meeting of the month thing through...
No, because that guarantees no
that
one's
guarantees
coming.
No one's coming. But if you go to the other meetings, you know, you get a guy like my sponsor. You get a guy like, you know, some of the guys who are
certified.
Involved, World Services. You know, yeah, any of those guys, and you say, look, I need you to come speak on this date. You know? Because, first of all, if I turned around to you, Bruce, and said, I need you to come speak 2 Thursdays from now. Not can you, not will you. I need you to come do it.
I do it.
You do it. Yeah. So, it's you know, so you book it, and you get people there. And what happens is when people see 30 or 40 people in a room and a really dynamic speaker... The people who came, even the ones who just came for that day because you said the meeting needs support, they will let other people know it's a meeting that they should go to. And the people who show up, you'll get people coming back, and then it builds on it, but you've got to keep booking the speakers. You know, and as soon as you have that week where you have a secretary who says, oh, I didn't get a speaker, you had one job to do for the entire week. And but it's also a vision of what the commitment is to the program today by the younger people. There's no commitment to it. You know, they forget about the fact people are dying of this disease out there. To them, that's a video game. You just hit the restart.
Well, we've had people that ran that meeting before too that were in and of themselves extremely charismatic, but still lagged on getting speakers. We have a good friend of mine, Fausto.
Yeah.
Fausto is a great guy. You cannot be in a room with him without
laughing,
noticing him because he is boisterous and he's laughing and he's joking and everybody looks at him.
Yeah.
And every week he was picking someone from the room to be a speaker.
Yeah, but he had a room full.
Yes, he had a room to pick from because
that's
he was
true,
charismatic
because,
and funny enough that people came because he was there.
There were 30 of us in the room every week. It wasn't tough to get a speaker.
True.
You know?
I think that you can gauge which direction your meeting is going in by the coffee consumption. The Thursday night meeting went from...
They're not even making coffee.
Giant metal urn. Yeah. When I first came in, we were still using
Shelley
the giant metal
urn.
Shelley
was a great coffee person. Oh, my God.
Then we went to a large bun machine. Mm-hmm. It made 12 cups, and we had to refill it
a couple times
during the meeting because the metal urn broke. But I also had the water hot pot that I made water, and you know we had tea and apple cider and hot cocoa.
We had tea and hot chocolate and coffee.
And cookies and all kinds of stuff.
The cocoa
and then we went to one Mr. Coffee that somebody donated, and now the last 3 weeks nobody's made coffee at all.
It's funny in that meeting. I went to that meeting once, and my sponsee got there first. He was the first
one
to show up. So the first thing he did is what I have trained everybody to do. First thing you do is you make sure the door isn't locked from the inside.
Right.
The second thing you do is you get the coffee crap out and start making coffee. Because if you beat the coffee person there,
yeah,
then you're the, guess what?
You're the coffee maker.
You're the guest coffee maker for the night. Make
yeah,
the first
it's like,
pot.
It's like the other night when I went, knowing that there's like no commitments in this meeting, really. What I should have done is just elected somebody right there. But I went in. You know what? I know literature needs to go out. I know this needs to be done. Yeah. I know that needs to be done. It's like I just start to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we do.
The people who have commitments in the rooms need to realize that when they walked in the door, all that stuff was there.
Somebody did it for them.
Somebody did it for them. Each one, teach one.
Oh, God. We missed 2 weeks ago. I forget where we went.
Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving, and we intended
the
to be
first
there.
First time I missed
first
it in forever.
First time in a decade he's missed it. First time I missed it last year because I had to admit somebody to the hospital. I had to take a friend to the hospital. But other than that, I've always been there on Thanksgiving. So we missed. We go the next week. All the literature was still sitting out. Because somebody
from
had
the week before.
From the week before. The hospital didn't even touch it. Nobody put it away. Yeah. And I was like,
well,
really?
I remember a Thanksgiving that we all showed up, and there was another 12-step program that had a meeting right down the hall.
Right.
And there was one person sitting outside the room
telling people
there was no meeting that night.
We ended up with a fairly large meeting.
We ended up with a fairly large meeting because the people would just turn around and go three doors back down and come into the room we were in.
So, Shelly.
Yes. We've been sitting here bitching for half an hour.
What would your final words on Mirror be? Do secretaries really influence meetings that much?
I think they do to a large extent. Not always, but I think they do. I think it's incumbent upon the group itself to be careful about who you elect. If there are two people running for the secretary or the chairpersonship of your meeting, don't make it a popularity vote. Go for the person that you actually think will be committed and will do their best for the meeting.
Mark.
And show up and do your job too.
Mark.
Commitments will save your life, and treat your commitments as if your life depends on them, because it just may.
Good one. I would say that I definitely believe that meetings are a reflection of the people running them, not just the secretary, but everybody. But if you are going to be a secretary of a meeting, just like what Mark said, you be a secretary like your life depends on it, because it does. And it also depends on it for people that are attending your meeting. So whatever you have to do, if you're running a book study, you make sure you got plenty of books and this and that. And if you're running a speaker meeting, you make sure you get speakers. And don't half measure it, because half measures, you're going to have a half measure meeting. And a half measure meeting doesn't get people that goes to it. Shelley. We have friends in the Inland Empire.
We have a friend.
We have a friend. Yes, we do.
Yeah, she runs the 12-Step Gazette. You can go to 12stepgazette.com/IE to get the Southern California edition of that newsletter. You can also subscribe. You can get it through the internet. You can also pay for a subscription. That would be good. Or you can write to her, and she will probably send you a few copies to strew about whatever facility you are attending.
And by the way, Shelley.
What?
The name of your book.
Oh. Shelley Burnett updated her status.
Available on Amazon.
Yes. By the time the show goes up, it will definitely be available.
Yes. And it will be, and it's a bargain.
Yep.
It'd be a bargain at three times the price.
I don't know about that.
Mark.
Yeah.
We have people that listen to the show.
We do. You know how we know that?
Because we're number one this
week. That's right. I mean, somebody was listening and...
Yeah.
Following 1,000 times.
That was Fran. She finally got back. Comcast let
that's
back
right.
on.
You know,
so
that's
Fran.
Funny. Yeah, Fran gets back up, and we're number one again. How's that work?
It's amazing.
Thank you, Fran. So, yeah, we do, and we really appreciate everybody listening. And I think Bruce does a stellar job promoting the show, which is why people know when we've got new shows up and things are going on. So And anyway, you get that notice and listen to the show. We appreciate it. We would appreciate very much if you would go to our site at recovery101.net. And when you go up on there, it will take you directly to our Podomatic site, where you can become a member of Podomatic. It will ask you if you'd like to become a member.
Super easy.
Super easy. Yes, you do, by the way. So when you join Podomatic, you can then like shows and follow and leave comments.
You can follow every single day from the main page.
You can.
Over on the right,
yep,
partway down, it says become a follower. Mm-hmm. Even if you're already a follower, mm-hmm, you can become a follower again.
Yeah. I have a question for you, though, about that, Bruce, because I go up there now and I can't find our ranking on the page anymore. Used to be on there. I don't see it on the page with the new
there's some changes stuff anyway, because it used to be if you just went to podcasts, it would show like the top 10 podcasts.
I found it the other day, and I can't remember the name of the button because I was looking for it, too.
Right. Yeah.
And I clicked on some button, and I can't remember what it was, but the top like 15 mm-hmm shows came up.
Yeah.
And we were in there.
So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm not thrilled with the new
layout.
But anyway, obviously enough people are because that's what they went to. But follow, like, comment, leave show topics in the latest show if you'd like us to talk about something that interests you. And
welcome back, Cotter.
That's right. And then also add us to playlists.
And by the way, if you are on Facebook, it's real easy to join Podomatic. You can log in with Facebook. And if you're currently logged in with Facebook, when you do that on Podomatic, all you got to do is click the button. And it just automatically does it for you. And that allows you to do all the things Mark was talking about. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. You can join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shh.
It is a secret group, so you cannot find it if you search for it. But if you message either Bruce Burnett or Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, or you go to the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, you can send us a message there, and we will be happy to add you to the group. That way you can be anonymous from your employers or family or whoever you don't want to know you're talking about recovery with. An email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That is good. Also, if you want to send topics in, you can do there. You can leave rants and raves. You can put in a jingle there, just like Bill did at the beginning of the show. If you submit a jingle, we will for sure use it at least once. And if it's catchy and stuff, we'll use it even more. We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not. Now, Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets.
Sweet. Ooh. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. I don't wanna get old. like it used to. Life doesn't shine like it used to. When you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but the world has changed. I don't wanna get